All right. Welcome. It's the Black and Jew podcast. Episode what? 44?
42.
42. Should have been
44, but the holidays got in the way. Family, yes. Friends, laughter, those kind of things. The magic of Christmas got in the way of you,
exactly.
Black and Jew listeners, getting to hear what we have to say. So
exactly.
We're sorry, Black and Jew listeners. I know that you were waiting with bated breath and are very upset. We've got many angry phone calls, a lot of emails.
Yes.
I don't appreciate the threatening ones. Someone said, if Black and Jew podcast doesn't go back on the air, I'm going to murder Reggie and Mike, probably. And I didn't appreciate that, whoever
that
you are.
That one was not welcomed, listeners. Yeah. That was not nice.
I do appreciate the effort of you writing it in your own blood, however. That
seemed
difficult to do. Mm-hmm. It probably hurt. It probably was not healthy for you. Next time, just cut out the letters from a magazine, you know?
Yes, go classic. We really appreciate the blood effort. I mean, come on. Who doesn't appreciate a good blood letter?
Yeah, I appreciate it, you know? I appreciate
But we want you to keep on listening, so please keep your blood to listen.
I appreciate blood letters, dolls made out of human hair. I appreciate all these things. I see the effort that goes through. It doesn't go unnoticed, all right?
It doesn't.
No, it doesn't. But next time, just tone it down a little bit, okay? We know you love us, but yeah. So how was your holidays, Reggie?
Holidays were good. To all the listeners, Happy New Year!
Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, because it's a superior holiday to Hanukkah. Can we all just agree on that? It is.
Kwanzaa beats them both.
Kwanzaa, right. Who celebrate? I feel like that's racist to tell a black person Happy Kwanzaa. Like, what if someone said to you Happy Kwanzaa? You'd be like, what the fuck, right?
Well, one, I don't celebrate Kwanzaa.
But I don't know anybody who celebrates Kwanzaa. Like, who celebrates Kwanzaa? Wasn't that made? I think Kwanzaa was made in, like, 1973 or something.
Yeah, no, the creator of Kwanzaa is still alive. That's why people kind of like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, the creator of, like, all the other holidays were still alive. People would still be kind of like,
I mean, Jesus is alive in our hearts.
And that oil, the oil, and the guys that were like, holy shit, this oil lasted long.
What a bargain. What a bargain. It says on the label 1 day, but we got 7.
So, I don't celebrate Kwanzaa. I think it probably would be racist for people to assume.
I feel like it's insulting, right?
Yeah, like if someone was like, Happy Kwanzaa, is that it? Kwanzaa. Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy
What's
Kwanzaa.
Today? What's the day? Ubuntu? No. Are there days? How does
On
this work?
On the seventh day of Ubuntu, my true love said to me.
Ubuntu's
seven
the
Africa
Bambaataa's operating system.
Yeah. It sounds like it's vaguely based on an African word, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it is. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that probably would be racist. Someone just came up to me. Happy Kwanzaa. I know someone hasn't said it yet, but I'm saying it to you now.
I'm sure you feel left out for all the Kwanzaa you're celebrating.
My holidays were good. My holidays were good. Thank you for asking. I got five gifts. I got exactly 5 gifts.
Uh-huh.
First one was like a pair of shorts from Haley. Second one was a t-shirt from Haley.
Mm-hmm.
Third one was a bow tie and pocket square.
A bow tie and pocket square.
Yeah. So my older brother definitely knows what I'm about. Then he gave me a $25 Visa gift card.
I want to see you in a bow tie. I could picture you in a bow tie and a pocket square.
I'll wear it next. I'll wear it next time we record.
Next podcast,
that'll
be the new. That'll be the new logo. It'll be you with a bow tie and a pocket square.
And then the most significant gift I got was a book titled "Personal Finance for Dummies." So
wow, that sounds like a very passive aggressive gift.
Yeah, but the worst part is that I'm actually reading it and it's teaching me a lot. Like, it might have been a very passive aggressive gift, but you know what? I'll give it to him. I am learning. Setting up a budget. I know how to fix my credit on my own.
Yeah.
I got all this stuff down now.
That's good.
Entering the new year, I'm going to start an IRA account. Whew, that's tax deductible. So you better do that for yourself.
You know, I'm going to start getting healthy in the new year, but I don't like You think it's because of New Year's resolution. It's not because of a New Year's resolution. I think New Year's resolutions are kind of stupid. It's that, you know, I just happen to be gorging myself over the holidays, and it just happens to coincide with January 1st that I want to get healthy. It's really hard to be healthy in Los Angeles.
There's a ton of food there.
But you think of Los Angeles, like you always hear about Los Angeles, like, oh, kale and juice cleansing and organic and all that shit, you know? But I think I figured it out. And my theory is that people in Los Angeles are in a constant cycle of eating at taco trucks, feeling guilty, and then repenting with the juice cleanse. I think that's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I know that's because it's so hard, dude. It's like the food here is out of control. And it's not prohibitively expensive either. That's the other
really?
Thing. Really? Yeah. It's like I went to this taco place with Christine. We ate we ate pretty good. We were pretty full. We had both had two tacos and then this other thing. I forget what the name of it is, but it's like this really long fried strip of dough or something with
churro?
Cheese. No. Well, it's not dough, tortilla. I think it's like a fried tortilla, but very long with like cheese and meat on it. It's pretty big. And like we both ate and we're like, oh, fuck, we can't eat anymore. And guess what the bill came out to?
What?
Guess. Guess, Reggie. I like playing this game, even though the person that is on the other end of it usually hates it.
It's going to be $6.
$10.
$10. Sweet.
For two
off
people.
Off by four.
For two people.
For two people, a long strip of fried tortilla with meat, cheese, and vegetables on it.
Yeah, and then two tacos.
That sounds amazing.
And then two tacos for each person.
But do you work out regularly? I know Christine works out regularly,
No,
right?
She does. Like, neither of us do.
Oh, neither of you do? I thought you said she was like doing some squat challenge or something.
Oh, she was, but not anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, she was doing an insanity workout. I don't think... Hey, sweetie. When was the last time you did the insanity workout? She says, I don't remember. That's her that's her response.
I'd say that's pretty accurate. Last year, I worked out literally three times. Like, I went to a gym three times last year.
I thought I was going to hear some story of great discipline, but you're like, three times the whole year.
Three times.
Yeah, the whole year.
The whole year.
Wow.
Like... Oh, my God. Do you know, like...
Sweetie, Reggie only worked out three times at all last year. The whole year. She feels better now. Thanks, Reggie.
At least she can, like, reference, like, a time where she consistently did 30 days of working out. Last year, I only worked out three times. And I've ran twice.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, I was not working out. And you know what's so funny? You could honestly be a better human being all around. Like, there's so much, you know, okay, working out is like the opposite of heroin. Like, if you worked
out,
it is. Like, you would feel so much better. You'd reach your potential. You could, like, you know, you could do so much.
Mm-hmm.
But I read all this, I hear all this, and I just don't do it. I'm not achieving my maximum, like, human potential. Like, I evolved to this state. My family lived to this point. You know, like, my lineage lived to this point for me to just watch anime and, like, wolf down, like, kettle chips.
You know what? I think it's harder, too, to have the motivation to get healthy when you're young and you look in the mirror and you're not disgusted with what you see. You know? Like, I look in the mirror and I'm like, ugh, I need to fix this. You know? But you could eat whatever and then still be skinny, and I cannot do such a thing. Like, I could be losing weight and like it could take a week and just unravel, like 2 weeks of work, you know.
I have that sometimes, but I always look at myself and I constantly remind myself, like, no, this could be better, and I need to do it now, because if I don't, it'll just set the precedent for later.
Yeah,
and
that's
then,
a good mentality to have. That's a great
tying
mentality.
Tying my
to
shoes
have,
will
yeah.
be hard in the future.
Tying my shoes is hard
now
for me. So, like, I do get out of breath when I tie my shoes. Like, I like lean down and I'm like,
ooh,
yeah. It's like it's not like I do that and I'm like, oh, this is not good for my heart. I mean, I did go to the cardiologist and he said, he pretty much politely told me that I'm wasting his time, and that that I didn't need to see a specialist. You know, but. But I don't know. I do need to get healthy in the new year. It's kind of hard to, like, right now for me, it's kind of hard to balance everything, just because, you know, like, I still am on the job hunt. So, so like his, every time I'm not job searching, I just feel incredibly guilty, you know? So it's like, so like doing other shit, I'm like, no, I can't, I gotta get, but I think I'm just going to get myself in a schedule. And I've been like kind of trying to figure it out. I've been hitting up late mics every night.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've been going to like the 10 PM mics and then just like during the day job hunting. And then after that writing.
All right.
Yeah.
That's
and I'm,
good.
I'm taking
good.
My first UCB class on Saturday. Actually.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. That's good.
Yes.
That's
and
good.
Yes, please.
You need a,
and
all right. Improv comic. Why don't you get 10 other guys up with you to do it?
There's
one
no,
joke?
There's no improv comics. There's comics and there's improvisers. Or there's a comic. There could be a comic. There could be a comic that is an improv, but you're just a comic that's an improv. An improv comic? That's crazy.
So you're taking? How is that? How's it used to be? I've been meaning to take improv classes myself.
Yeah,
but like you know, there's
you hypocritical jerk off. Fucking improv comp. Yeah, I've actually been. Do you know a place in Miami where I could go see one? That's you. That's who I'm imitating, Reggie.
Wow, look at that. That's some great imitation. UCB's been so good to you.
Oh, fuck. I haven't even taken the class yet. I just signed up. I'm starting on Saturday. It's, dude, it's so hard to sign up for that fucking class. It's crazy.
How
like,
come?
Because, like, the registration. You have to sit there and just refresh the registration page because like it sells out within 30 minutes. So you just got to sit there and keep hitting refresh and hope they have new classes. And like, it's like I would be out on my phone just refreshing Safari to see if they have new classes. Given I was trying to sign up at the end of the year, so like the classes were a little sparse, and they have
so
a bunch more classes.
Were like, you know, this year I'm gonna finally do it. I'm gonna.
No, but like at the end of the year, they just had like only three classes available because they didn't want to start at the end of the year. But now they have more classes available, so I signed up for the Saturday. But it's hard as shit to get it. It's like it's hard to just take improv 101, you know, let alone advance all the way. To be on an improv troupe, it's like just it's like crazy out. Like when you come out to LA, like you see, like oh, this is the amount of people that are trying to do what I do. Holy shit, this is a lot of people. Like I was at a mic the other night. This girl showed up. It's like first come first serve, and the show was at I think 10 o'clock, like 11 o'clock or 10:30 or something like that. And I got there at 9:15. And uh-huh. I was number 18. I was there like an hour early. I was number 18.
What?
And this girl gets there like late and they're like, yeah, you could be number 47 if you want.
47.
Yeah, 47.
Woo. I've only seen a mic down like here get as bad as 30.
Yeah, like when the Buddha gets really bad, it's around. No, but like that's a regular thing though. Like if you don't show up on time, like... And then there's like these raffles, you know, like...
There's raffle mics?
Yeah, there's raffle mics... I don't I kind of like and I don't like like it's
well,
good it's
you
good
like
and bad
them to a large extent when they're small like if it's just 12 guys or just 12 people
which is never ever the case
yeah
but the thing is with raffle mics I feel like you waste the same amount of time right because like if you're on a first come first serve mic you got to get there like at least an hour early to get anything close to a decent spot right so you're wasting that hour while waiting for the mic to start. And then in the raffle mic, you can show up right before it starts and you might get a good spot. You might not. But like if you don't get a good spot, you maybe waste like an hour and a half or an hour. But there's a chance you might not waste your time, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like it kind of evens out. And I've just been like trying to just read and make some use of my time when I'm at the mic. But I've kind of been going to late mics because there's other shit that I want to... focus on writing too, so I want to take that time to do that, and it gives me time to hang out with Christine while we're doing what we love to do, which is both be on our iPads. So
that's good. Yeah. All right, damn man, 47 at the mic. Ugh.
I had a friend say he said that he estimates there's 10,000 comics in Los Angeles. I think that's an inflated number, but it's a lot. It's like. It's I don't even know. It's hundreds, at least hundreds of comics in Los Angeles. And it's like it's crazy how many people there are doing this. You know, it really drives a point home when you come out here and like see it for yourself. You're like, oh shit, like that's a lot of motherfuckers.
Yeah,
and a lot of people that are like open micers, and they're like really fucking good. And you're like, god damn, like nothing's happened to this person yet, but this person's really good. also abysmal people that you're like, all right, I feel a little bit better about myself, but you know, really good people too.
There's no ranking system either. Like, you know, like if you're playing Call of Duty, you'll have a ranking system.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll see like, oh, okay, I'm 40,000th. That's fine. At least I'm not 41,000th, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But like with comedy, like, okay, so you'll have like the people that are on top, which is like, you know, your Chris Rocks, your Louis, right?
Yeah.
Then you have the people right under them that are coming up, like your Pete Holmes, your Kyle Kinanes, and you know, your stuff.
Yeah.
And you'll have those people right under them, mm-hmm, who are just starting to get their Conan spots.
Yeah.
And those people right under them, who the people like maybe two levels up top will say, oh, that guy's great.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also just people that are like under those people getting Conan spots. Like it's really crazy how like this industry works, where like you'll have just some people will hit that stride, or they'll get an album, you know, offer or something, and bam, that's it. Boom, they got it. But then there's also people that are just amazing and no one's ever heard of them, and they're always on the road, but nothing ever comes their way.
Yeah.
Like there's something with the machine that's just
there's a factor of luck that is impossible to ignore, and that's just the fact of the industry. It's like the luck, you cannot ignore luck. Like everyone's success has a certain degree of luck in it. You know, it's like someone went to an audition with their friend just to keep them company, and they were like, oh, you can come in here, and then they audition and they get the part or some shit, you know what I mean? or like Bryan Cranston getting on the X-Files, and then it happens to be that Vince Gilligan is directing the episode, and then he ends up getting on Breaking Bad 10 years later, and like has like one of the greatest role of his life like 10 years later.
Yeah.
You know, like there's uh-huh, just like, and you see it out here, it's like there's luck, there's connections, and luck are so indisputably important, you know, like there's no way around the connection, and it's like probably the biggest part, you know, like talent is very important, but that's like a huge chunk, you know, like that's like 50% of it is that shit, you know, and it's hard to even give it a percentage, because like literally without that luck, without those connections, like you have nothing, you know, regardless, mm-hmm, of how good you are. I think of it, it's like playing soccer on a field that keeps changing around. And then sometimes, sometimes it switches to football and nobody tells you. And you're like, oh, I've been playing soccer. No, it's football now. It's been football for like years. What are you still playing soccer for? I don't know. That's what it's like.
Damn, that's crazy. But so you haven't really been performing like these last couple weeks, right? Holidays?
I performed this week.
You were in Chicago. Did you perform in Chicago?
I performed. No, I didn't. I didn't really get a chance. I performed that week before I went out there. But I performed like twice that week, and then this week I went up twice. You know, we had like New Year's Eve, no one's going to be like, we went out, no one's doing mics anyways, and then yesterday the same thing, and you know, I'll probably go up tonight or something, but yeah, I've been performing much over the holidays, but yeah, it's good. I'm getting used to the dynamic here, which is just way different from being in a smaller city with not like the scene that you have out here, you know, like I'm getting used to performing for that kind of crowd, which is just like six comics. And it's like, it's difficult, but I'm getting to the point where like, I'm okay with the fact that a chunk of my set is going to eat a dick, if not the whole set. And that's inevitable. Like, it's rare that you have like a really good set for the whole set, you know, like,
yeah.
It's like, I think of it like, here's another sports analogy, even though I don't play sports. I think of it like, it's like It's like when you're in a smaller city, it's like playing bowl. It's like bowling, but with the bumpers on, you know? Did you ever do that when you were a kid when like they had the bumpers in the alleys?
Yeah.
And here it's like playing on a much, the bumpers are off and then like the lane is way narrower. So it's like any mistake that you make, it will be felt and it will be like, like there's no leeway, you know? There's no
spinning the ball so that way it can just, oh wait, back onto the lane. Yeah.
There's no leeway. There's no give. And which is kind of good because it'll poke holes in your set. So you know when something's tight. Like if you're at one of those rooms and you get laughs for the whole, like, all right, it's tight now, you know? And it's cool to be able to go up so much because you can just like work on a joke in one night and like really tighten it up over the course of three sets, you know? Even if it's like you're at a mic that's 3 minutes long, you still are gonna tighten things up. But it's good. It's good to do a city like Miami, just because like you get used to doing crowd work, and you get used to, going doing longer sets, which a lot of comics I've talked to in LA said that could be difficult for them because they're not used to doing those long sets. They're used to doing like 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 7 minutes.
Oh, okay.
You know, like because a 10-minute set is incredibly rare to come by here, unless you're being consistently booked on showcases and shit.
Yeah. Damn, that's crazy. Here you get like, I mean, since, you know, it's kind of small and everybody knows everybody and like the nature of what it is here, you can get some 10-minute sets pretty frequently.
Oh, yeah.
There.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's
get,
what...
Like, 10 minutes as an open mic sometimes. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. That's when my friend Abe came down here for the holidays. He was so used to like doing 3 minute sets up in Portland because that's all they let you do up in Portland. Yeah, so, 3 minute sets.
Portland's the same. It's like the mics are so. My friend Dan worked there, and he like went on rotation there, and he's like, yeah, there's one thing people in Portland have, it's free time. So they just go and, you know, they just go and they do stand up.
Yeah.
So anyways, continue with your story.
Well, like, he's only doing that. And then when he came down here, he got a spot in Freddie's room, Taurus.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I hosted last night.
Nice. Look at the host and everything here, this guy.
Yeah.
I saw Bradless' angry Instagrams. Where the fuck are you at, Freddie?
Oh. He, I don't know what he was doing. I don't know what Freddie was doing. But I ran a tight ship that last night. It was
nice.
It went very well. Kept the crowd engaged. Like, it was a small crowd entering. So then I'm like, okay, this needs to go quick. We need to catch them. We need to get them. Yeah. Only five guys came initially. So I was able to break it down to 6, 7, 10, 10, 10. So, like, you know, 6 minutes first guy, 7 minutes, you know, by experience and by, like, you know, all that stuff. Everybody got their time. Everybody went up. And then two guys came out at the end, like, close to when it was finishing. Put them up with 6 minutes each. Boom. Crowd was great. People loved it. The crowd left at that point because, you know, it was kind of late. Well, it wasn't late, but like people were like, oh, okay, this has run its course. I'm good to go now.
There comes that point in every comedy show where everyone needs to go home. There's only so much stand-up comedy you can take.
Exactly.
Like, in any form of entertainment, it's like you can't sit through a movie that's 7 hours long.
No, you can't.
you can't sit through a comedy show that's 3 hours of amateur comics.
No, you can't. You can't hold people captive by their kindness, you know?
Just,
they need to be able to get something out of it. It's a whole thing,
learning. That is such a cringeworthy thing. Keep people captured with their kindness.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, please let this be over.
You're killing
the audience. You're killing the comics. You're killing everybody. There's nothing I like more than a host who rambles incoherently in between sets.
Ugh. That's not good.
That's kind of what I like about the shorter sets is it forces you to be fucking tight, you know? It's like, I'm not wasting time. Like, I really dick around on stage way less now. Like if I would be at AV, I would fuck around and be like, you know, do some crowd work, talk about some thing that happened.
Yeah,
and then,
exactly.
But here I'm like, all right, I got to spend my time.
Yeah, and like what I was going to say with the Abe story is that when he came down here, he was used to like just, you know, he did not have that. You need both. You need to be really tight, but also really loose.
Yeah.
And, like, he was just used to always doing the 3 minutes. So once they gave him that 10, that 10, you know, he's always been seeking at Portland.
Yeah.
He was able to do just 8. You know, like, he was able to do just 8. And he's like, wait, you want more? I thought you only, you know, wanted 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, he did well. He did very well. But he just kind of, like, at the tail end of it, he couldn't last that long. So
I've seen that happen before. I saw there was a show that the comics had 15 minutes, and they cut it down to, like, 12 or 13 because they were like, I don't know. Like, I'm not used to doing it, which I understand, you know. I feel like now doing a 10-minute set for me, I would feel less comfortable than I would in Miami just because I'm used to a certain style of just boom, 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 get out of there, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, you had some, well, I bet you still have. You have some long-form bits that I used to see, like, you'd really flesh out here. And, like, yeah. you just let it run its course. Yeah. But I can only imagine what's happened to, like, the women love an accents bit.
I don't even do that because it requires crowd work.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really do that here. And, like, it's a little more progressive and PC in California. So even that felt like a little misogynistic, saying that women love accents from high GDP countries, just because, like, yeah, there's not as much woman stomping. There's a lot more women comics out here too, I noticed. And I think, who is it? Someone on Facebook, I think it was like Adrian Earhart, was saying it's easier to be a woman comic in LA. But yeah, I mean, I have not heard another comic yet say they don't think women are funny, which I have heard quite a lot in Miami. I have not. Maybe it's because I don't know any comics well enough to hear
like 3,000. Did you say that was the number?
Like, yeah, something like that. Like, I don't know if I don't know them that well, that, like, they don't feel comfortable being like, yeah, women aren't funny. But there's nothing better than a lazy fucking hack comic thinking that a hardworking, hilarious female comic only got where she is because she's hot. Oh, that's refreshing. That's what we call dramatic irony, kids. If you're writing your essay, the audience, being everyone who knows that person, is thinking, wow, this person's a jerk off because they're not funny. And they're criticizing this woman, saying that her looks are what got her where she is, when the fact is that she's just hardworking and way better at you than comedy.
Yeah. So
and it's funny because, like, I've seen so many, like, really good women here, and I just sometimes I'll watch them and be like, just think about all the comics I know that are, like, in Miami. They're like, women aren't funny, and I'm like, you crush all of them. Like, this girl crushes every single comic. That she's way better than every single comic I know in Miami. That's like, women aren't funny. You know, I'm like, you're so much better.
That's Abe tells me about the Portland comedy scene a lot, and yeah, in Portland it's also very PC. Like, you can't make any blue humor, like, not at all.
Blue,
like that's what it's called. Like, when you make, like, and
no,
so
no,
then,
no, I thought, I thought, no, blue is like gross stuff. Like,
oh,
like,
okay,
then she shit in my mouth and I came on her face. Like, that kind of stuff is blue.
Ooh, can I take that premise?
Do it. It's all yours.
Well, you can't make any, like, it's progressive in Portland.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, progressive. But you can't make any jokes about, like, you know, like, and so then this dumb broad, you can't make any of those jokes. There's been people that made those jokes in Portland, and now they don't do comedy anymore. Like, no one lets them do comedy.
They don't let them do comedy? Wow.
Yeah, like, they just can't get on a lot of shows like they could or they used to. And, like, Abe's always telling me that, like, you know, like, Portland has like no, I'm not saying anything Portland. If we have any Portland fans, I'm not saying anything.
Don't worry, we don't.
But
we're safe. We lost all of our 5 listeners on our involuntary Christmas hiatus, so we're good.
Like, you can't, it has no stomach, no thick skin for that sort of stuff, and like.
Yeah.
And, like, you can't say it, or you can't say anything that's too, you know, like, that's not very conscious or, like, progressive, because that just won't fly with the crowd. Like, they just will not take it. Like, don't even think about saying anything misogynistic or racist. Don't even touch that, because no. And you know what? That's kind of like, you know, did we talk about the Artie Lang situation?
Oh, no, we didn't.
We're like, this is happening a lot. I think, yeah, I spoke about this with Haley, where like I was talking about like the Artie Lang situation, where Artie Lang just has a barrage of tweets like describing a slave master relationship he wants to have with like this ESPN news this ESPN anchor, right?
Yeah, he it's like a black ESPN anchor, and she's and he was talking about like how he has a fantasy where like he pretends to be her slave master. Reggie says hi. Yeah, you're on headphones, so she didn't.
Yeah, no.
So our listeners are like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah, so yeah, he said like he had a joke about her being a like master slave relationship.
Yeah.
Like a slave rape fantasy.
And Artie Lang comes from that like time where like one, you know, you could have said anything in comedy when Artie Lang was starting up. You could have said anything because people supported you. It was a very different time. Not everyone was exposed to what you were doing, and only, you know, like, you know, if you were selling out a show, it was because those people liked you, not because like there was a bunch of comedy nerds that wanted to see like, oh, I heard this guy, you know, like, it's because those people liked you, right?
Yeah,
like a time in where comedy was like, it was just like the Wild West. You could say whatever you want. You could son of a bang, son of a this, you know. You could just say whatever you want. Yeah. And now Artie Lang coming from that culture of comedy is going to Twitter. Twitter where everybody's on and saying these horrendous things.
Yeah.
And then now people can check him. Like people can like come and tell him, yeah, I don't agree with that, Artie. And this is why for X amount of reasons.
You're kind of being an asshole, Artie.
Yeah, exactly. No one told Artie Lang that like he was being an asshole before. Yeah. I mean, you know, they'd tell him like, you're an asshole, Artie, but no one was telling him you're an asshole and that's like this, and this. Then this is why this is bad. And that comes with two things. One, comedy like that, like one the comedy that doesn't like, you know, that people don't agree with, you can get called out on that very easily, especially through Twitter. Like, it happens time and time again. Someone says something, and Twitter catches wind of it, and then they just flame that person.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is that now comics are exposed, are constantly exposed all the time. Like, the time when Chris Rock dropped at the Comedy Cellar just to do some jokes. Yeah. And everybody pulled out their phones to record, but Chris Rock wanted to just practice.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, like, there's no
privacy.
There's no privacy. I can't mess up.
Yeah.
I can't, like, you know, I can't say, like, you know, this thing, this, then this, and this thing, and then people recorded it. It's bad because I'm trying it out. I'm trying to, you know, feel it out. And I can't, because there's no private space to, like, you know, do that. It's going to end up on YouTube. Someone's going to catch it. And then next thing you know, front page of Jezebel. Oh, Reginald said this thing about, like, this other thing. Do we, you know.
And, you know, I think, you know, ironically, actually, Whitney Streed, who's a really funny comic from Portland, who I recommend everyone follow on Twitter because she's really funny. I actually did an open mic when I was there on vacation after the show, and she was the one who hosted it. And she, I'm friends with her on Facebook now, and she always posts really good articles, and she posted this article about how comedy doesn't belong to the assholes anymore, right?
Oh, yeah, I read that one.
And yeah, and it was about Artie Lang. Like, look, let me read one of these tweets, all right? And trigger warning, okay, because this is fucked up. I attempt to whip Kari Champion because she disrespected me on the Jefferson plantation, but she grabs a whip and beats me, and I come like a fat founding father. Like, don't say that, you know? Like, I understand that as a comedian, like, the PC police is trying to police what I say, but, like, that's just, first off, that's not funny, and secondly, you're tweeting at someone, like, you're saying this to a person. Like, that's like, don't say that to somebody, you know, like that's a horrible, like, if I was her, I would feel unsafe, you know, like don't threaten, you know, like, I know he was joking, but it's like, come on, dude, like, you're really going to say that to somebody? Like, I don't think that should be okay, you know?
Yeah, and it isn't. And that, and then, you know, that's the thing. Like, that culture in comedy is, one, done with.
Yeah.
And two, like, everyone can see you now. Like,
yeah.
It's not, you're not in some dank cellar telling these jokes to a bunch of, you know, just to a bunch of people that care enough about, like, comedy to, like, go to the same dank cellar, you know? Everyone can see it, and, like, the nature of it, if you, and, like, are, you know, Artie understands that, like, I need a tweet. You know what I mean? Like, he understands he needs to tweet. And the only thing he knows to do is, like, so an XXX, you know, this thing, and, you know, come like a founding father. That's what he knows what to do. And, you know, sorry, it doesn't, like, just like the title of the article, comedy doesn't belong to the assholes.
Yeah.
Now we're entering, like, I think I was listening to the Pete Holmes podcast, like, you made it weird, where he was talking with Patton Oswalt, right? And then Patton Oswalt was saying that, like, the stuff that's coming up now is way better than what I was doing, like, back then. Like, sure, like, I'm a big name, but, like, whoever's coming up now is, you know, whatever's happening now is amazing, and it's only going to get better. It's like jazz. Like, comedy is like jazz, where it was like, you know, like, it started, you know, with swing, you know, it's popular. Swing is popular. People love dancing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, but swing is very simple. Then you get to stuff like hard bop and bop and modal and jazz fusion, where it's like, oh, you know, it starts elevating itself.
And then it gets to the point where no one can make a living off of it and everyone gets sad.
No, the only thing is comedy's always been that way.
Yeah, I think, and Patton Oswalt, actually, it's funny you brought him up. I think he was on Maron's podcast, was saying how, like, you don't really have to deal with assholes as much anymore, because there are so many people knocking down, like, right at your front door that are way nicer and just as talented, and you want to just use them. Like, why would I have to fucking put up with you? Like, there's way more people. Like, you have access. Like, there's not as many. The gatekeepers are there, but they're not. Like, you could be your own gatekeeper, you know? Like, you can build your own thing. Like, you could... So it's a lot harder to be an asshole now, because you don't have that protection of being like, oh, I have the in. You have to fucking put up with my shit. It's like, there's... And you really see it. Like, if you come out here, you see how many fucking talented people there are just trying to knock down the door. And, like, you don't need to seek them out. They're there. They're waiting for you. And if one of them pisses you off, there's 10 more that are just as talented or more talented. It's like, all right, I'll just pick you instead. Go fuck yourself. I don't like your attitude, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's just the nature of the beast. I mean, and that's the thing you got to keep in mind. It's still a beast, you know? It's, you know, it's really interesting. Rap music, like, well, actually all music in general. But I guess I want to say rap is more famous for this, because it's easier to set up rap than it is to, like, you know, set up a band and stuff.
Yeah.
With rap, you just need, like, honestly, you just need a computer and, like, some good lyrics behind you. Like, the bare minimum, that's what you need. And that's what a lot of rappers are getting by with. Like, and then, you know, once they start building notoriety, they start building connections. They could hit up this producer or this other producer, or, like, this musician, this other musician. Then they start developing something. But
it's, like, still essentially they're just using more expensive computers.
Yeah, exactly. So the thing I'm trying to say is, like, there's no gatekeepers for rap. Like, everybody that came up in 2013 and 2014 and made great strides, and, like, we're looking forward to 2015 with what they bring, like, they did it without, like, you know, some executive head, or, like, you know, without having to go through, like, just, you know, a gatekeeper.
Yeah, you built your shit from the ground. You built it from the ground up.
Yeah, exactly. And that is happening with comedy. Well, it has been happening for a while, probably picking up more now, because we got what's that new series out, that new internet series, Low Maintenance?
No, I'm not sure.
It's this one about, like, a pot delivery guy that delivers pot on a bicycle.
Uh-huh.
And, like, the show's about him meeting, you know, strange and interesting characters while trying to sell him weed and whatnot.
Yeah.
Well, like, that is an internet series, and, like, things like Jerry Seinfeld's, like, driving in cars, comedians
in cars drinking coffee.
Yeah, like, that's all, like, internet, and there's a lot of people, and there's a lot of content out on the internet by you know, just a lot of it's crap, but also a lot of it's good too. Like, you got Labor Days, you know, that came out of the internet. You got podcasts like ours that, like, coming out and, like, just there's content all the time, and none of it's regulated by any.
You can get that heat. Yeah. It's not regulated content. Like you can just, like there's no one to say no. You can't publish that. Everyone can publish now.
Yeah, exactly.
And while most of it is complete utter garbage, and I can attest to this because I spend a lot of time on Twitter. Twitter's great though because you can get all the horrible hackiness of an open mic without having to leave your house, which is great.
that's great.
Some of the shit that people write on Twitter, I'm like, how does this have 1,000 retweets? Like that is like a dad joke.
Yeah.
But like they say, does it play in Peoria? Right. And I understood. I went to Chicago with Christine. We were like in the suburbs and like interacting with Midwestern people. I'm like, oh, that's why this is popular. Like that's why you can't be too edgy because these people will not be cool with it unless it's in a nice little safe zone, you know? Some people it's like, oh, did you hear he mentioned sexual intercourse? Oh, that's racy. don't tell Bob, I've been watching this. It's a crazy episode of The Big Bang Theory. Or whatever.
Yeah. He said something risky about evolution.
Because you forget, like you live in big cities, you forget like, oh shit, some people are not okay with like anything that challenges them. Which I understand. Like people have their spheres where they don't like to be challenged, you know, and comedy is one of those spheres. It's like I'm sure that I mean personally I'm not like that in any sphere of artistic whatever, but I don't know. Like I kind of get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What are you doing? What are you fumbling with over there?
Oh, just my power cable.
Your power cable?
Yeah.
Is your computer dying?
No, it's not. Just got to make sure that's all good.
Oh, okay.
Because like the little bit that connects to the power cable in my computer is kind of like a wonky.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like a specific, like you need to touch it in a certain way for it to like start charging. And
I thought you were trying to send me a signal, like Mike, no. We got to pause it because some shit's going down in the casa.
No, we're good. There's only a very few big cities. You have to appeal to everybody else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What was it? I think. That's actually not a good. I was gonna reference Ari Kondombolu. You heard of that guy?
No.
Oh, man, you need to listen to Ari Kondombolu. If you get a chance, just look up his newest album, Waiting for 2042, which is a reference to the year that the census believes that white people would become the minority.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great comedian. He was on FX, W. Kamel Bell's Totally Biased, and he's just really good. So
I'm going to write that down right now. Waiting for 2042.
Yeah, check that out.
Wave goodbye to Christine. Bye, Christine.
See ya, Christine.
Bye. We miss you.
I miss you too.
I feel like I'm in like a family video, like Skype chat. But it's podcast gold now. It's podcast gold. That's what it is. Oh, you know, I miss minorities so much being out here. I really miss. You know what I think. That part of the reason people are so PC out here and in Portland is that I think that when you don't interact with other races, yet they're around you, you don't feel comfortable discussing race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like in Miami, like I hear quote unquote racist jokes all the time made to the minority that is a subject of them. Like I've been made fun of for being a Jew many a times. You know, I make fun of my Cuban friends and we're totally comfortable discussing it, you know? But what was I going to say? Like, but out here, it's kind of segregated in LA, you know, because I ran into mostly white people like 90% of the time, you know, and it's 50% Hispanic here. And like,
yeah, like, or it's how like, are you running into 90% white people when 50% of the population?
It's 70% in Miami. So it's like, that's just to give you an idea. But I think it's different because here it's not really in every strata of society. Like I was talking to this dude, this Haitian comic. And at first off, I was like, oh my God, you're a Haitian. Please talk to me. I miss minorities so much.
And, you know, it might, I just want to say this, Mike. when you say you miss minorities, that's also kind of problematic. But we'll unpack that.
Is it though? Because it's literally that is just a truthful statement. It's just I miss minorities. Like, do I have to? I'm not PCing this shit. This ain't Tumblr. All right, I'll be honest with you. I miss Cubans. I miss black people. All right, I miss South Americans. I miss all those. I miss Haitians. I miss those motherfuckers. I do. I don't care how problematic it is. It's just the truth, which is, it does sound like something a racist would say. I don't care if it's wrong. It's just the truth. They just ain't as good as us. But yeah, I don't, like, but I think it's like, because I was talking to this dude and he's like, man, I'm like, you know, like, yeah, you see a lot of, there's a lot of Mexicans here, but you don't see as many Mexicans in Beverly Hills, for example, as you do in like other neighborhoods. And he's like, dude, you see tons of Mexicans in Beverly Hills. It's like, but really, how many Mexicans own the mansions in Beverly Hills? Like, let's be honest here. Not as many. When he said there's a lot of Mexicans in Beverly Hills, he meant that, you know, gardening and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
But in Miami, it's like every strata of society. It's like the guy who owns the mansion is Hispanic, but also the guy who is repairing, you know, the appliances, yeah, and mowing the lawn is Hispanic. So it's like way different.
Have you been like in that Silicon Valley area at all?
Like, no, that's way farther. That's like near San Francisco.
That's way farther.
That's near San Francisco. It's like five hour drive. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah,
yeah. I hear, like, I was reading some articles about that, about that part, and like, it's all like, cause all the, you know, tech companies release like their like the racial breakdown, like in percentages, yeah, of, yeah, their companies, and, mm-hmm, like staggeringly, overwhelmingly, without surprise, it was like all, you know, white.
Definitely
and Asian.
Without surprise, yeah, it's all white and Asian.
Yeah, like it was all white and Asian, and that was it. And then, like, you know, 0.05 everything else, you know, just, and like, this is how I'm gonna
0.05
bring it back. Yeah, like, it was a very low number for every, like, it
Jesus.
Was a, like, it was a very
Jesus.
Low number. Yes, super low number for all the other. But what I'm trying to point out here is that, like, I feel like I mentioned this before, but, like, you know, a lot of people.
We talk about the same things every episode, so you probably don't. Who cares?
We just dress them up differently.
Just dress them up in different clothing. One time it's in a bow tie and a pocket square. One time it's in a T-shirt.
But, well, what I'm trying to express here is that, like,
Express, Reggie, express for me.
A lot of people practice, you know, self-segregation. Yes, yeah. I have mentioned this before. Where, uh-huh, like, you know, your social circles don't have people of color in them. And, yeah, then you just kind of like...
For me, that's by choice mostly. This is a professional relationship. It's not a social circle. So
this is why you Skype. This is why we Skype now, because you did not want me over at your house.
Exactly.
I'm just going to, like, talk to this person as sterile of an environment as possible.
Those Jordans are going to scuff my tile. Please don't. only dock shoes. Only boat shoes here.
Only boat shoes.
So what were you trying to say?
No,
before
I
so rudely interrupted
it, like,
you.
What? Yeah, like, when you, I guess, just to, like, back up your point, it's probably really PC because no one knows how to talk about it.
Yeah, and they don't. Yeah, and they
do, and
they,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, like, and they won't let, you know, like, an idea flesh out. So, like, if a comic starts with, like, you know what? Let me tell you something about niggas. You know, like, if he starts, yeah, off like that, that's it. No, end, stop, self-destruct button, stop, eject. We don't want to hear it. Nope, you're going to say something, and we're not going to like it. So, you know, they don't let the idea flesh out. But it could have been something that, you know, probably spoke true or, like, probably had a grander idea behind it that we're not allowing. And, yeah, you know...
That's,
you
the
know,
problem to, with the PC
and
police.
To bring it all together, where's a space where, like, anybody can flesh out an idea and then, you know, have it said completely and then critiqued,
mm-hmm,
you know, like, I don't know, it's just something, it's
not
like
with these
a,
PC crackers. Not with none of these PC crackers. If I use that voice, they'd be like, oh, what is he talking about? And I was like, you know, and they'd be like, well, I'm not racist like him. Well, you don't have any friends that are minorities, so. I do, okay? And that's why I'm okay using that voice sometimes, but not in public.
So what are you, what, okay. So I got to ask, 2014, what did you like, hate? I don't know if you want to break it down by, oh, what was the best album? What was the best movie? What do you
definitely
like,
the best mixtape, my boy JP. He dropped that mixtape.
That's the lamest. Like, I can't wait till you take improv classes. So that way JP becomes a much better rap name.
My boy JP. No, that ain't his rap name. That's his real name.
So, okay, 2014. What was the best? You know, what was the best meme? 2014.
2014. Memes are stupid.
Thank you. Boom.
Maybe those hilarious stock photos with captions, really horrible captions.
Those are really good. Those are really good. Around the tail end of the year, you know, Pepe the Frog.
I don't know that one.
The green frog, the one with the sad face.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like what is it? What does it say usually next to it?
It's like, I don't know. It's like that feel. Like, it's kind of like that feel guy, and then him. Like, you know, they're the same. They're the same
meme. But there's like a certain thing that comes with it. Yeah, feels bad, man. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
it goes feels bad, man.
Yeah, I have to say that's probably like one of the better memes of 2014. That's my pick for best.
Nothing that any of you assholes have posted on Facebook, by the way. None of that shit's funny. Get it out. I got it. You know, 2014 was my first year without chemotherapy. That was nice.
That was nice, but not better than these memes, man.
Not better than these dank memes. It's weird making the transition from cancer life to regular life, I'm finding, just because it's like, and I keep forgetting that. Like, I keep comparing myself to people that just transition. It's like, well, I'm working and I'm doing stand up and now I'm moving out to LA. But like, for me, it's a way different transition. You know?
Yeah. For you, it's a transition, like, of many things.
Yeah, and it's like it's weird being in a place where things are expected of you, except for me not to die. Like, that was my whole life. Is like, don't die. You're doing okay. And now I'm like, I'm not dead. Oh shit! I got to do more than not die. This is this is harder than not dying.
I think for me, it was finally quitting my old job, finding a new job in a way better environment with way better people. By that, I mean just like, you know, just the way that like the Heat Store just made people. It's just like there were great people in there. Like, shouts out to all of y'all. You know who I'm talking about. But like, I'm glad I finally found a job that lets me like just grow outside of it too. So
let's me just be me.
Also, I mean, real happy for just like everything new that's come, like, and that I'm taking with me from 2014 into 2015.
Like Casa de Haha.
Yes, which I'm going to host for the very first time this month. That's right, this month.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's going to be
wonderful.
I'm going
to set up Alan and I set up the list. I'm going to do the Photoshop for it. Need a torrent Photoshop. I mean, buy it. I didn't say anything Adobe. Going to torrent that and do the thing. And then I'm going to I'm going to initiate my plans. I got big plans in store.
You're going to make some dank memes?
I'm going to make some dank memes.
Are you going to do that?
420 blaze it. Dank memes.
Did you say 420 blaze it?
Yes.
Wow. If you know, if the cops heard that you said that, they would never pull you over again. They'd be like, no, he's not a criminal. He says 420 blaze it instead of 420 blaze it. Never mind. Move along, sir. Move along. You won't get pulled over unnecessarily anymore. That's pretty. And just to have you know that I will be promising every person I know in LA that's making a trip to Miami some stage time at Casa de Haha. So. Yeah, I'll give you 20 minutes. Just, yeah, totally. I know the guy. I podcast with the guy.
I'll podcast with him. Just tell him Mike sent you. He'll let you run the show that night. It's
yeah,
great.
Do you want to host? Do you have experience? Yeah, you can do like 10 minutes in between each comic. Totally fine.
10 minutes in. Worst host ever does 10 minutes in between each comic, says this guy isn't really funny but give him a chance when introduces every comic. Does horrible crowd work.
Yep. Just makes everyone uncomfortable, because that's what I want to be brought up to is just an uncomfortable audience who's does not feel it's a challenge. You know, it's like working out with weights. Gotta love the number one attribute you want to have a host possess is lack of self-awareness.
Yep, that's where it's at.
Yeah, you don't want a host that can read people and see when people want to leave. Like, you don't want that. You want a host that really just makes everyone feel bad about themselves and then brings you on.
Exactly. That's now, the best host.
There's so many comics on the mics here that they're just like, all right, on deck is this person. Coming up next is blah, blah, blah. And then that's it. It's just like moves towards it. And you go, hey, how you guys doing tonight? And then it's just silent. Or you're like, give it up for your host. And it's like, just like, what?
Give it up for your host.
Woo. Yeah, it's like that. Like, think about, picture the slowest night at Artistic Vibes you can think of.
Which is still very good.
say you got like five audience members, maybe, right?
Okay.
Yeah, that's, if I had that here, the host would be like, all right, guys, we got a pretty good crowd tonight, so make sure. we got five people and none of them are comics. This is a big deal.
Oh, well. Can't wait to host. I'm really looking forward to that. Hosting last night for Taurus was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I kind of like I did my thing up top, right?
Yeah.
And then I realized I was kind of off because once I was on stage, I realized, oh wait, my responsibilities are different.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and then that kind of really
responsibility
threw me off
is not to be funny. And not, it's to make the crowd feel welcome. Oh, hey, everybody. We're going to have a fun time.
Exactly. And I need to take that. I need to make that like a thing. Like, I need to be very aware and conscious of that.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
If I'm hosting and the person says, you can do 10 minutes up front, I'll just do 8 just to keep it fucking going, you know? Because your responsibility is to the crowd, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think a lot of people don't recognize that sometimes. They're like, no, the responsibility is for me to have fun. No, it's not. You're a comedian. You're not a right-wing talk show host. So I'd like to tell some comics that, like, you're not a right-wing talk show host. Like, this is not your crazy podcast, like, The Coming Apocalypse and Bill O'Reilly is God. This is, like, you're supposed to make people laugh, so please, God, relax. But these are important issues. People need to know about the Federal Reserve. No, well, then don't be a comic. Because that's not what comedy's for. Unless you get, I mean, people make, like, John Gregory has a very funny joke about Bitcoin, you know?
Yeah.
So you can make finance funny. It's not easy.
You can make finance funny.
You can make it funny.
How do I get into Bitcoin? I want magic internet
money. Dude, ask John Gregory. Don't fucking ask me. I don't know. You buy it. You buy it on an exchange. And then when the dollar collapses, you'll be set. Because I'm sure the internet will still be up after the dollar collapses.
People are going to make the dollar collapse memes once the dollar collapses. George,
that's
Washington
really funny.
Was like,
now that I
what?
Thought about it, that is hilarious that the apocalypse will be put in meme form.
Yes, it will.
Like if the U.S. is displaced as a hegemony, it will be in meme form.
That's, it will be a meme.
Like a shitty meme. Like, fuck.
Like, once North Korea, like, you know, takes down all our movies and then, like, just totally destroys us, we're going to meme the shit out of it. Oh, I can't wait. Human beings have successfully memed everything horrible so far.
Yeah.
I think once we finally get the collapse of all times and worlds, and, oh, my God.
The collapse of
all
times and worlds. Interdimensional memeing.
That's sweet.
Memeing on
sweet.
The fifth dimension.
That's sweet. Oh, so sweet. Like, end
the,
of the world memes
the memeing
are
on the
hilarious.
I was seeing if I could interrupt you and see how many times I can make you say that sweet, sweet.
No, those were intentional sweet, sweets. Like,
oh, okay.
Where, you know how, like, they say, like, the three horsemen are going to come down? No. It's going to be just three really good memes that, like, separate people. Like, you'll have seen one meme. I'll have seen another. And then that will kill us of laughter. Like, that'll just
favorite, my new guilty pleasure is on Reddit, Black People Twitter. Have I sent you some of those?
No, you have not sent.
Oh,
me
that shit's
those.
That shit's funny. And they're like, all right, guys, don't. They even say on the moderators say, they're like, don't worry about having a frank discussion because because we're all black here, so it's okay. Like, let me read you one of these hilarious things.
Do you just lurk on that subreddit?
Obviously. Like, there's this little kid playing NBA 2K13, right? He's like sitting and looking at the he's in his little high chair, and he's like has his controller, and it shows the score: Heat 60, Nets 3, and it says, "Bitch nigga just walked in here, hopped on the sticks, and like I was gonna take it easy on him." That shit's so funny. And this guy has like a really like kind of sloppy haircut, and then he gets this like nice fade, you know, that's like really like done very well, and it says he went from crackhead to crack dealer. Barber changed his whole destiny.
Oh yeah, I've seen that one many times before. That's a very good one.
It's super funny. Like, some of the stuff made me laugh. Really, like, laugh literally.
If there's anything 2014 taught me, was that black people really love Dragon Ball Z. Like,
what?
If you've ever seen, like,
really?
If you've ever seen the majority of, like, okay, it could, like, the majority of a lot of black memes have, like, just Dragon Ball Z pictures, like, with impact font on them.
Interesting. have you seen the guy do Super Saiyan in the
Yes, I've seen that YouTube video. That YouTube video gives me life. Like, at the end of it, he is convinced he turned into a Super Saiyan.
I like this one. If I beat a nigga in 2K at his own house, I'm going to go make myself a snack right after, because this is my house now. That's great.
Oh, man. Oh, good.
That's just super funny.
I'm going to check that out. That's probably what I'm going to do during work. Damn, I probably shouldn't say that. I think some of my bosses listen to this podcast.
What, check black people? They're like, you can't check black people Twitter because we're not uncomfortable with conversations about race.
We're not uncomfortable.
Is that what you're saying? Or maybe
that's
I shouldn't.
What you said.
Maybe I shouldn't imitate your. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't imitate your bosses like that.
Maybe you should take those improv classes.
That's true. So I come up with a better name than JP.
All right. You want to wrap it up?
Do you remember that what we were talking about earlier about something running its course? I think we're at that point now with the podcast.
I already said. All right. Okay. So.
Well, I was sitting on that and you fucked it up by talking first. So let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up like a burrito.
Okay. So people find you where? On
internet. People can find me on the internet at @Ratchet_Reggie. All right, that's Twitter. You can find me on Instagram @BlackDadaist. You can find me at Casa de Jaja, second Tuesday of the month, every month. All right, theme nights. I'm going to be there. Alan Medina's going to be there. We're both hosting. Hope to see you there.
And
where can they find you, Mr. Mike Marinoff?
They can find me, and I'm going to do this in binary, on 10001110. No, it's @ Mike Marinoff on Twitter. And just follow me on Twitter. I'd like some more followers, Black and Jew listeners. So that's
all right.
All right. So until next time, guys.
Until next time.
See you later.
Bye.